The portion of scripture that was read to us earlier on from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we are going to look on it and we're going to give God the glory and the praise for the way in which he operates and the way in which he's doing things. It is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, read from verse 5 to verse 10, and we are going to look primarily on two verses there, and that is verse 6 and verse 7, and we will look on other passages of scripture to support the thought that we are going to concentrate on. And if you ask for topic, the topic will be finding joy in affliction. The topic, finding joy in affliction. It is hard to think that those two words can be in the same sentence. It doesn't really match. Joy and affliction are two opposite words. Yet we find in the scripture that both are in the same sentence. And there must be a reason for it. And that is what we would like to look on today, to see how comes these two words find themselves in the same sentence as we worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So that's the topic we're going to use today, after which we will go into the breaking of bread service later on. And I trust that you will have your emblems ready at that point. When you take a look today in our society, one of the things that one seems to see is that there are not a lot of people who are quick and are anxious and are rushing to make a decision to serve the Lord as their Savior. And one seemed to want to find out why. Why we are not seeing the rush to the altar. Why we are not seeing the leaning towards holiness the way in which we believe that it should be. Because it looks like for some people, all condition has to be right before they can make this decision. Their physical need has to be met. Their material need has to be satisfied. The church building has to meet society standard. The music must be appealing. The crowd, the company of the church must be to their taste. And so on. The demand has to be right in order for them to make a decision to serve the Lord as Savior. And that is totally contrary to what the scripture teaches. Totally contrary to what the scripture teaches. If we take a look and see what the scripture is saying to us, we will find that those demands are not really in the scriptures. The demand of me being satisfied physically, financially, materially, before I can make a decision to serve the Lord. The company has to be right. The building has to be appealing. The music has to be right. And all these sort of demands has to be right before that decision is made. It's totally contrary to what the scripture portrays. And I'm going to read to you these two verses that I would like to exalt on today. Now remember the topic, finding joy in affliction. The two verses are 6 and 7, 1 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 and verse 7. Listen to what he says. And I might read verse 8 too. And ye became followers of us and of our Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were example to all that believe in Macedonia and Asia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Asia, but also in every place. Your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. Listen to those words that the Apostle Paul used as he commended the church at Thessalonica. Very interesting words. He used it there. And in saying this, in saying to the brethren, you are following us. You have become followers of us. Meaning, us mean Paul and Silvanus and Timothy and the Lord. That is who he mean by us. You have become followers of us, as he addressed that small young church. And of the Lord Jesus, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. I want that to sink in for a minute, church. You have become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and joy, what? Of the Holy Ghost. How the word affliction and joy is in the same sentence. Contrary to what I've just mentioned first, that all conditions for some people have to be right before they make a decision to serve the Lord and Savior. Here Paul is saying, when you, saying to the young church, when you look and you saw what we were engaged in, the hostility that we face as servants of God, meaning himself and Silvanus and Timothy, when you look and you saw that we were being ridiculed, we were being ill-treated, we were being laughed and scoffed at, we were being looked down on as servants of God. It is in that moment that you choose to make a decision to serve God. That is what the apostle is saying to the church, as he is commending the church for the way in which they conduct themselves. It was while looking at, again, verse 6. And ye became followers of us. You are imitating us. You are imitating what we do here. You have become followers of us doing the things that we are doing. And as I've mentioned to you before, who is the us? Meaning Paul, meaning Silvanus, and Timothy, which can be found in the first verse of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And the Lord. That is the us that Paul was referring to. That this young church have become follower of. And then he went on to say, as I continue to read, and of the Lord, having received, listen to this carefully, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Having received the word, in much affliction. Listen to that. Not when the sun was shining and all things going well. The music playing, the church, the environment is good. All things equal, physically and otherwise. Not in that type of atmosphere, but when things seemingly is dull, when things seemingly does not make sense, when things seemingly is painful, that is the moment in which the young church, as far as Paul is concerned, choose to make a decision to become a body to serve God. And just in case they didn't get it, Paul reminds them as to what he's talking about here in chapter 2 and verse 2. Listen to what he said here. Chapter 2 and verse 2. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated. As you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Listen to that. He is reminding them in this verse, in this chapter here, that they know very well what they had passed through. They saw for themselves. They experienced the grief that they suffer as servants of God. And they were eyewitnesses to these things. Yet still, in the midst of them going through all of these things, shamefully, before the eyes of the people, promoting the gospel of God, yet still, in that moment, they choose that, you know what? We are going to serve God. We like something that we saw. We are looking at a life of sacrifice, and we are prepared to bear that burden with the servants of God. And we are going to accept Jesus as our Savior and our Lord in this environment. Because life in there is a joy somewhere. Hallelujah. In amidst this suffering, there is the element of joy somewhere. Hallelujah. You know, my mind goes back to Moses as we speak here. Moses having everything to his comfort, lived in King's house. He was a prince. Next in line to Pharaoh, the king. And he came to himself and made the decision that he'd rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Can you imagine that? He chooses at that moment to go out and suffer with the people of God. Suffer the affliction. With the, he was seeing something. And I believe as we look through the lines here, the Thessalonian people, they were seeing something in their spirit that connects them to the God of heaven through the affliction that they know the servants of God were experiencing. They said, we want to be a part of it. We want to give ourselves to it. And the Apostle Paul is commending them that in the midst of this affliction, they found joy in coming to the Lord Jesus and hold him dear as their Savior. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Not when everything seemed to be going right from a worldly standpoint, but when affliction is rampant, and when it appears as though the enemy is willing, there goes people who are desirous of taking part in this affliction to promote the kingdom of God. And the Apostle Paul here is commending the Thessalonian church for having taken this position. Let me remind you of something that the apostle said to young Timothy when he was there locked away in prison, Paul that is, and he heard news coming from the church in Ephesus about the young servant of God, Timothy. He wrote unto Timothy a very interesting letter, and part of it that he wrote to him we find in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, and I will read verse 8 and 9. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And I read verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. What a thought! He heard that Timothy, because of the opposition that he faced, were seemingly on wobbly legs. On wobbly legs, needed to be strengthened. Because as far as Timothy is concerned, Paul preached the Lord Jesus. And what did they do to the Lord Jesus? They killed him. They killed him. And as far as Timothy is concerned, the next thing that happened, Paul, who was his mentor, is now thrown in jail, waiting to be killed as well. So they kill Jesus, they throw Paul in prison, waiting to be killed. The next person in line is me. Timothy was thinking. And that news reached Paul in prison. And Paul wrote the letter to the young servant. And Paul said, be not ashamed Be not ashamed of me, his prisoner. Not the Lord Jesus. But instead, what you need to do is to partake of the affliction. Partake of the affliction, he said. Be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Instead of thinking that you might be next to be cast into prison and ultimately died, you take on the affliction of the gospel. Because we were called with a holy calling. Strengthening the young servant in his service towards the Lord, that he might go forward in triumph and serving God in the way in which God is to be served. And we see here the apostle commending the young church that you came to salvation, not at a time when the music is playing and you feel a thing, but at a time when there were affliction and the whole scenery did not look good, you came to know the Lord through this affliction. Because what? You perceive that in the midst of all of this, there is a joy somewhere. I am so glad for this thought, because we sometimes get joy and gladness, happiness, mixed up. And they are two separate things. Happiness is something that comes as a result of outward happenings. Things that happen outwardly. You get a job, it brings joy. You get a car, it brings joy. You get a house, it brings joy. You hear some good news from somebody about something, it brings joy to you. Your great-grandfather left some money for you, it brings joy for you. You hear about your favorite sports person doing well, but in basketball or cricket or boxing or whatever, it brings happiness for you. We're talking about happiness here. Happiness is promoted by outside environment.
Amen.
But joy is going a different thing. Joy comes from inside.
Yes.
Joy comes from inside the heart. Hallelujah. And whether it is sunshine or whether it is rain, that joy continues. Hallelujah. Because it is not generated by anything outside. It comes from within.
The inside.
Thank
Hallelujah.
The Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And when in the affliction, as they look and see God's servant passing through this, they realize that in the midst of this, God's servants were joyful. Hallelujah. God's servants were happy. God's servants were determined. God's servants were pleasing to God. And they said,
Amen.
I want a piece of this joy.
Amen.
Even though it comes with affliction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes,
Believers, what is going to hold, especially in these days that we are living in, trying days, is the joy that comes from inside. Hallelujah. The joy that is able to override and outweigh all the affliction that we might have. That joy is going to hold us together as we serve God. Many people are falling off right now. Many people are walking away from the church because of the difficulty of this time. But I want to tell you this. The people who really sought something are firm in God, because the joy of affliction the joy that is in affliction are keeping them close to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. When you think about the cross, there is nothing attractive about the cross. Nothing.
My Lord.
The cross is a bloody experience. It is a painful experience. It is a shameful experience. In fact, the Bible describes it as a curse. But the Apostle Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus. Despite all of this, there is a glory in the cross. Hallelujah. There is a glory in the cross. Hallelujah. Because the cross produced it.
Life.
What tells us in Isaiah 53, that the Lord Jesus shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be what? He shall be satisfied. He's going to see the result of the cross, and it is going to bring him satisfaction. As ugly as the cross is, as vile as the cross is, as painful as the cross is, as bloody as it is, there is a glow that comes from it. Hallelujah. And that glow brings Jesus satisfaction. Let me read something from Hebrews that bear out what I'm saying in regards to the cross. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Listen to what it says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the what? Joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen to those words. He endured the shame of the cross because of the joy that was set before him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Despite all that the enemy threw at him, the affliction, the persecution, the everything the enemy threw at him, Jesus was able to see joy in the cross. Hallelujah. 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 I want to encourage all my brother. I want to encourage all my sister. You might be passing through a time of affliction, but hold on. There is a joy involved somewhere.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Dig deep. The joy is down there. Hold on. Yeah. The joy will appear. Wait on Jesus.
In the morning.
He will bring out the joy of your affliction.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
David tells us, weeping may endure for a night, but
yes,
joy cometh in the morning.
In
Hallelujah.
The morning.
It will come.
Yes.
It will come. The apostle commend the young church for standing up for a principle that is overlooked by many. In the midst of affliction, that is the time that they went to Jesus and offered their life. They were able to find the joy that was involved. Hallelujah. And he did not stop there, believers. He did not stop there. Look on verse 7 to see what he says there. Verse 7 says, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Asia. Imagine that. Imagine that. As a result of this move, as a result of this decision made at the time when it did, they have become now example to the other churches that were formed in the Macedonia here. They have become, this little church has become an example, not because they were rich, not because they had a marvelous building, not because they have a choir of 100 strong music playing night and day, not because of any such thing, but why? Because in affliction, they uphold the name of Jesus. In affliction, they saw the joy of serving Jesus. In affliction, they were committed to the cause. And Paul said, you are now become an example to all the other churches. Because you are a what? Trailblazer in this regard. You are shown the region, the entire region, what it is to be committed to the cause of God. Because in there, you have discovered a joy that many people have not discovered. A joy in serving God in affliction. Affliction brings pain. Affliction brings suffering. Affliction brings disappointment. Affliction brings anxiety. But in this, these servants made their decision to serve the Lord and Savior and join with the company that Paul described himself, Sylvanus, Timothy, and the Lord. Honor me. You are imitating me, he declares, as we follow the Lord. And if you look at verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Asia, but also in every place. Also in every place, your faith to God, wise, is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Can you imagine that, church? Can you imagine how compelling that decision was? How compelling their decision was? How far-reaching it is? That the Apostle Paul said, we not even have to preach in any great way, because your work, your action has spoken loud to the entire region what it is to serve the true and living God. That is the witness of a young church changing a community because they have, in the midst of affliction, see Jesus, who is high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. And the joy that is involved in that affliction in serving Jesus, they have experienced themselves. Because it did not just come about like that. It came about because of the presence of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has made the difference in the lives of this young church. Their testimony ring out loud and far. The entire region look on them as a model to holiness, a model to righteousness, a model to witnessing, a model to serving, a young, small church. Apostle Paul is commending them for the way in which they went about seeing Jesus and giving Jesus the glory and the honor that is due to him. Church, I trust that today, just like all this young church, was able not to look to the glitter and the glory, the worldly presentation that satisfied the environment to make a decision to serve the Lord, our Savior. But they look on Jesus, At a time when his servants were under pressure, and they say, we want to be partaker of this because we are seeing something here that through this affliction, there is a light of joy to be found in there. And we want to find that joy. And we want to embrace that joy that comes through the blessed Holy Spirit. I trust that today, the Church of God, the Apostolic Church in America, the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the Anglican Church, will see the light as this young church saw it. The apostle was able to commend them because of the time in which they made this decision to follow the Lord. And he did not say just to follow him, but he named three other persons. He named Timothy, and he named Salvinius, and he named the Lord. As he realized that this young church has made that bold decision despite all the affliction that they were passing through at the time. I bless God and I trust that we will find this word uplifting to our hearts to know that amidst all the affliction and trials, there is the element of joy somewhere that will bring honor and glory and stability to the name of the Lord in our service and pursue for him. Bless the Lord.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord.
You might be here this morning. You might be here this morning and you were contemplating as to whether or not you should make a decision to serve God. You have been thinking about this a long time. You have watched people go to the altar at different places. You have heard about people's experiences from time to time, but you have never done anything. What are you waiting on? The word says, today if you will hear his voice, you should not harden your heart. And I'm appealing to you if you're here. You have never made this decision. The apostle Paul was able to single out this church. Their decision was not overlooked. It was recorded what they did. That they came to the place where, despite the fact that there is suffering for the name of Jesus, they are willing to partake of it for the greater good. Are you here? Have you seen this light? Have you seen this light that Jesus deserved it? Jesus deserved to be recognized in this way because he has gone through this on the cross for you and me already. He has endured the shame of the cross. He has endured the pain of the cross. He has endured the curse of the cross for you and me. Have you seen this light? I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to encourage you that if you have seen the light, I pray that you will act upon it even now. Tell the Lord that you are ready. Tell the Lord that you are ready to walk with him. Tell the Lord that you are ready to take on the different challenges that the enemy might throw at me. But you are really ready to get the joy that comes from serving God. There is a joy involved, and that is for you to experience. Tell the Lord. Tell the Lord. And you might not necessarily become a member of the Apostolic Church, But we want you to become a member of the church of God. The church of God. The body of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The body of Christ. That's where we want, your name to be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Tell the Lord you are ready. Let it be recorded. Just like how the apostle record the action of this young church. Father, I look to you this morning for that person who is at this moment contemplating what to do in regards to your word. Not waiting for the environment or society to dictate to him or her when they should make this decision. But seeing you through your word propels them to make this decision. Just like old Moses, having everything to his convenience, walked away from it and preferred to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the riches in King's house for a season. Help them to see something greater than what is around them, Lord. Just like how the Thessalonian church was able to see something greater than what was around them. I pray for these, Lord God, who are now contemplating this. I pray, God, that you open their heart, open their eyes, so that they will see the things that are hidden from them. They will embrace you as Lord and Savior and give you the glory and the praise that is due only to you. Save somebody today, Lord. Based on your word, save somebody. Touch somebody's heart that they will change for the better. These we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.